Going to be back in just a few minutes as we celebrate communion in just a little bit. I also want to take opportunity to thank Stephen and Ike for filling in for me while I was away. I had opportunity to listen to the podcast, and they did great. They did really, really great. And to the board and elders who helped keep things running through the 3 weeks we were here, taking care of needs, and Sandra in the front office, I came back and everything was exactly where it should be. Even my office. So thank you so very, very much. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. And the scripture was read to us earlier, and we're going to read through it in my message. And so with the notes that are in your bulletin, you can follow along. And if you're a note taker, you can fill in the blanks as we go through it together. But as this new fall season comes, I have been thinking and praying and ruminating on what it is that I feel God wants to say, first of all, to me and also to our church. It'll be almost a year ago that we began our ministry here in Sydney, and what an adventure it's been, and how thankful we are to God that He has brought us here to be part of such a wonderful, wonderful church family. And we've seen a lot of things happen this year. We've seen some ups. We've seen some downs. We've seen many victories. And we're so thankful for each and every experience and circumstance that God has brought us through. Because you know what? God has brought us through. Yes. And He's going to continue to bring us through. And as I was thinking upon those words, and I was thinking also upon the series we did over the summer from the book of Hebrews as we talked about faith, and something that the Lord was just dropping in my heart is to remind us that faith isn't just a noun. Faith isn't something that we merely possess. It's not something we are. But as we look at the Old Testament heroes of faith as well as the New, we come to understand that faith is very much not just a noun or an adjective, it's a verb. Faith is action. God calls us to live lives of faith and faithfulness to Him. And so the Lord over the last several weeks has been just drawing me to this book of Joshua. And for the next several weeks leading up into the season of Advent, I want to share some thoughts from this great book in a series I've simply entitled Forward Moving Faith. And this morning I want to share a message I've entitled Facing the Future with Courage and Confidence. People ask me, Pastor, is there anything you miss from the East? And of course, we miss our kids and our friends, our dog. But I will confess, if you'll allow me, that there is one thing I do miss, and that is the changing seasons that were so prevalent out East, especially the fall. In the next few weeks, this is what Ontario is going to look like. It's going to be a place ablaze with color. I can draw. It's up island? Okay, well, there you go. Thank you, Lord. You've brought me truly to the best place on earth. But the changing seasons are indicative and illustrative of the changing seasons that God brings us through in life. With each season comes new opportunities to serve the Lord. And while January is chronologically the beginning of a new year, really for the church, September represents a new season filled with all kinds of new and renewed opportunities for ministry and service. for our children's ministries, for our home care group ministries, for our prayer ministries, for our helps ministries. We're looking forward to this fall with great anticipation. In fact, one of the things that we're looking forward to is that this coming year in fall will be the opportunity of harvest. In the month of October, I've been designating it the month of harvest. And in your bulletin, there is a flyer there and indicating that we are going to be hosting a special night for the Villages of Hope on October the 7th, and that'll include a meal as well as speakers, even from Africa, and it's going to be a great night. That weekend also, we're going to be having the Annanbees coming to share what God is doing through their ministry in Africa. And so there's going to be great opportunities. Later on in the month, we are going to have an opportunity to bless our neighborhood and community through a family a fun night as we just share the love of Jesus in practical ways with our community. And we'll be hearing, I'll be sharing with you more about that in the days to come. But truly, this is a season of opportunity. It's also a season of change. With the coming seasons comes, we have to change from wearing our shorts and our sandals to wearing long pants and even sweaters or jackets. How we prepare for the seasons is very different. What we do in each season is very different. And so it is with each season that God brings the church through. There are different things that we prepare for and we look forward to. And as followers of Jesus, we also go through different seasons. Regardless of how long we've known the Lord, there are different seasons that God brings us through. For some of us, we're in that season of fall where the colors are changing and there's a breath of freshness in the air as we're being prepared for that season of winter, that season of rest. Some look at it as the season of cold and the season of let's get out of here. And sometimes we feel like that as Christians. Things seem cold. Nothing's happening. Nothing's growing. Nothing is developing. And we just want to get away from it all. That's a season. But as we stick to our faith, God leads us into the season of spring, the season of new life, which of course adds to the season of summer, this time of warmth, recreation, and I call it the season of blessing. And then the cycles begin. I don't know where you are today, but each of us are at a different season in our walk of faith. And God is bringing us through each season to the other. And so what I want to share with you for the coming weeks, and what I believe more than anything, God wants to see us progress. You see, there is a great temptation to say, let's just sit back and let's just enjoy this season. Unless, of course, it's winter. Except for those who love winter. I have a friend back east. He's praying that we actually have winter here. I've been rebuking him like I never have anything else. But there's a temptation to want to say, let's just stay put. Getting ready for another season, it's so much hard work. It's so difficult. Let's just sit and remain where it's comfortable. But I believe God is calling us to something more than just being safe. He is calling us to move forward in faith. And that is the message of the book of Joshua. You see, the book of Joshua really is a book of new beginnings for the people of God as they are entering into a brand new season. Some people look at the book of Joshua as a wonderful retelling of history of how Israel, in their conquest, conquered that land for God. And as a student of history, I love to look at it through that lens. There are others who look at it not as a book of history, but there are some who would look at the book of Joshua as illustrating the journey of the believer from life through death into heaven. The wilderness represents our life here on earth. The Jordan River represents that crossing over into the promised land of Canaan. And there are many gospel songs and spirituals that have been written over the years with that thought in mind. But I believe the book of Joshua is more than just a book of history. It's not just a story to tell in Sunday school. It's not just, and I believe it's a whole lot more than just an illustration of life and death. In fact, I have a problem with that interpretation because somehow I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of conflict in heaven. What I believe that God is showing us through this book, with its conflict and its victories, that it's a very practical guidebook for the believer as God would lead us from the wilderness into his position and place of promise. It is a roadmap for us as we journey through life and advance in our faith. Yes, it's a book of conquest. It's a book of failure and victory. But it's a book with a message for every believer that we have been called by God with a mission to continually move forward with confidence in God. God is calling us to move forward from season through season in his confidence and in his power. How do we do that? We move forward in confidence, number one, by letting go of the past. The book of Joshua begins with the epitaph, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. How would you like to get a letter like that from a friend or a loved one? It doesn't generate much hope or confidence or joy, does it? In fact, if you were to receive a letter with that beginning, you might wonder what other bad news is coming about. But the reason that this book opens with those words is that there is a direct message to Joshua and to the people of God. Moses, of course, was the great emancipator, the great man of faith who God used to lead his people out of slavery in Egypt through the wilderness to the edge of Jordan. He is recognized and revered in Judaism and Christianity as being one of the greatest men and examples of faith that ever walked this planet. We look at Moses as a prophet, as a preacher, as a lawgiver, as a freedom fighter, as a leader extraordinaire, and we place him on a pedestal and we look at him and say, man, if we could only have those days again. Have you ever said that? Oh, we revere what God has done through his servants. Oh, we remember those days. We remember when the church was full. We remember when the young people were at the altar. We remember when, and we remember who, and we remember that. But folk, God wants us to do more than just remember. He wants us to go through into a new season. And the reason for this epitaph is not to denigrate Moses, no. But it's to remind the people of Israel that a new beginning is starting for them. There is a new season opening up for them. That God has a plan and a purpose prepared. And while they had been waiting 240 years for this promise, now was the time for them to cross the river. And some of you have been waiting, not 440 years. You may have been waiting 40 years for that loved one to be saved. You have been maybe waiting 40 years or 20 years for revival to finally take place. You have been praying and waiting on God and wondering, when will it happen? You've been holding the past, but now God is saying, now is the time. Will you go forward? In fact, notice God doesn't ask them the question. He gives them the statement, now you go forward. Joshua, the time is now. Take the people and cross the Jordan. There is no more time for committees. There's no more time to vote. There is no more time to discuss. It is now time. Move on. And God, I believe, wants to say to our church and wants to say to you that the time for discussing and wondering has passed, and now is the time to take your feet and take that step of faith into the Jordan and walk straight through into the promise that God has given you. But folk, you got to let go. You got to let go. You got to let go, not just of the past and its glories, but you need to let go of the past and its failures. As Joshua is standing on the precipice of a cliff, that's how I imagine it. He's looking over and he's seeing Jericho. He's seeing the land of Canaan, and he's remembering, this isn't the last time he was here, the first time he was here. You see, 40 years previous, the people of Israel had come to that position. And we read the story in Numbers 13 and 14 when Israel came to the end of their travels on the Sinai Peninsula, and they came to a place called Kadesh Barnea. And it was at that place that Moses appointed 12 spies to spy out the land. Joshua was one of these men. And so for 40 days, the 12 traveled throughout Canaan to investigate, take notes, and to look to, and to spy out the length and breadth of the land. And when they returned, they all agreed it was truly a wonderful place. It truly was a land filled with milk and honey. They held even the literal promise and provision of God in their hands. They saw the promise with their own eyes. And you would think with that the people would just be chomping at the bit to get across the river and get into what God had called them to. But 10 of the spies gave a discouraging report. They reported that the enemy cities were well fortified. They compared themselves to grasshoppers to the Canaanites. Furthermore, there were giants in the land. Their conclusion was, there's no way that we can do it. Joshua and Caleb tried to calm them down by declaring by faith that we can go through. But you will remember the story, how they chose to agree with the 10 spies who said they couldn't do it. And as a result of their fear and unbelief, they were consigned to 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And each day there was a funeral as that generation died off. And now 40 years later, Joshua and Caleb are the only two left of that original generation. A brand new generation has arisen out of the wilderness. A brand new generation has come to the banks of the Jordan. And now the question is, can we do it? Will we fail? And oftentimes, we look at the seasons of life and we wonder, can we do it? Can we go through? Will God bring us through, or will we fail? And sometimes, tragically, that fear, that insecurity paralyzes us and we just remain where we are. But God has an interesting word for Joshua. He says, now you take these people and go. The time is now. Move forward. Let go of the past. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. When Paul wrote those words, he's writing from a prison cell, not knowing if he was going to see the next light of day. But with joyful confidence in God, he writes to his fellow believers in Philippi who were encountering great persecution and great dire circumstances. What he has learned more than anything is, I focused on this one thing, forgetting the past. Now, does that mean that we have selective amnesia? There are many who would say, have said to me in the past, Pastor, how does God expect me to forget the pain that was caused by? And they will relate either a person or a circumstance that may have happened years ago, but they're holding on to it. Folk, I'm not saying that you forget about those instances. But the word that Paul uses in this verse tells us that we don't have to let it control us anymore. We don't have to remain captive to the pains, disappointments, and failures of the past. You see, for many, the past is holding them hostage. They're being held hostage by their past failures, mistakes, and disappointments. But God's word says, don't allow the past to hold you in bondage. Don't be a prisoner of your past. Let go of it. And secondly, lay hold of God's promise. Lay hold of God's promise. Verse 3 records that the Lord spoke to Joshua these words of comfort, reassurance, and promise. I promise you what I promised Moses. In other words, Joshua, I haven't changed. The call of God and the promise I gave to Abraham, Isaac, to Joseph, and to Moses, it hasn't changed, Joshua. My command to you hasn't changed. My desire for you hasn't changed. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on land I have given you. I want you to underline those words. I have given you. Given you. Notice God does not speak of the future. He doesn't say, if you do these things, then it will happen, but he speaks that it already is, therefore, with confidence, you can go. In other words, God is calling us to move forward, not to achieve victory, but he's calling us to go in from a position of victory. He's already given us the land from the Negev, the wilderness, to the south and the Lebanon mountains, to the north from the Euphrates River in the east, to the Mediterranean in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors that I would give them. Notice that God does not give explanations to Joshua how he would accomplish these things. He just gives them a promise. And focus, you and I move forward in faith. God may not explain why or how. He will just simply say, I am with you. This is yours. Notice what he promised them. First of all, God promised Joshua that Israel would enter the land. God had affirmed this promise from his first words to Abraham to his last words to Moses. God would take them over the Jordan into enemy territory. He then would enable them to claim for themselves the land he had promised. God also promised Joshua victory over his enemies. As Joshua and Israel would walk by faith in obedience to God's word and not compromise their faith, then they would experience victory over their enemies. You see, God's word tells us in Ephesians 1 verse 3 that he has given us everything we need to live godly in Christ Jesus. All of the resources, all of the riches of faith that we could experience are ours in Christ. But what he also wants to remind us from this passage is that as we go forward, we're going to face conflict. Because the enemy is in the land, and the one thing that the enemy will not do is give up territory easily. And I want us to be reminded that you and I, as followers of Jesus, we do have an enemy. It's not the board. It's not the prime minister. It's not the pastor. It's not the person sitting next to you this morning, especially if it's your spouse. No. The Bible says that our adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, seeks about those whom he wants to devour. And so we are to be vigilant. We are to be aware. We are to be awake and ready, for the enemy will stand his ground. But there's a verse that Jesus gives to his disciples that is so encouraging. You'll remember Jesus was gathered with his disciples in the community of overlooking Caesarea Philippi, which was actually a Greek city in Palestine. And Jesus makes this astounding statement that upon this rock, after Peter had confessed Jesus the Lord and Messiah, Jesus says, upon this rock, upon this confession, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And if you're like me, growing up, I remember sermons being preached at youth convention and youth camp and other places that here's the church. We're just here. We're hiding. We want to be safe because the gates of hell are coming and they're going to overpower us and they're going to defeat us. But that's not what Jesus is saying at all. Because you have to understand something. Gates don't move. No, the picture that Jesus paints for us is that the church is the one on the move, and the gates of hell, who seem entrenched in territory, they will not be able to stand. There's another verse in Isaiah, and many of you know it, and we quote it like this. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise a standard against him. But in the Hebrew, this is how it reads. When the enemy comes, period. Like a flood, the Lord will raise a standard against him. Folk, the God is calling us to advance into territory that he has pronounced for us and made available to us. And folk, yes, we are going to face an enemy for sure. But God promises Joshua victory over the enemy. As Israel and Joshua would walk by faith and obedience to God's word and not compromise their faith, they will walk. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Yes, we will face the enemy every day we live for Jesus. But God says, every piece of land I have given you, you shall have. What a promise. And notice this promise of his presence. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will be with you. He gives us the assurance of his promise. And that's where God wants us to live, isn't it? You see, the secret of living in victory includes not just a promise, but it's experiencing his presence wherever we go. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Folk, and understand that many have tried to apply this word. I've tried to apply it to business and achieving some kind of physical wealth. I don't believe that's right on the mark. But he is saying that when we take the step of faith in living for Jesus, though it will be difficult for us, though we will face an enemy, as we put God first, as we meditate on his word, as we delve in his word, as we live his word, folk, he will make his presence known to us, and his presence with us is greater than any enemy that can stand against us. Have you noticed that it's three times that Joshua had to be reminded to be strong and courageous? That seems strange because Joshua was a successful soldier in general. He had proved himself in fighting the enemies while they traveled in the wilderness. So why was it that Joshua would seem afraid? Can I offer you a couple reasons why I think? One reason is, the Bible calls him the servant of Moses. Whenever you read about Joshua, yes, he was a soldier. God brought him out of slavery with the other Israelites. But in his association with Moses, he was just simply a foot washer. He got Moses' mail. He did whatever Moses said. He got his breakfast, lunch, and dinner ready for him. He got his clothes ready for him when he got up to preach. He was Moses' servant. In fact, in verse 1, the writer uses an interesting word. That word that's translated aid means helper or someone who, he's just there. People would look at Joshua as, yeah, that's Joshua. He's always, you know, he's Moses' helper, but nothing really more. And as God calls him into this faith-filled new season, and he announces, Moses, my servant is dead, now you. I imagine that perhaps his first thought might have been, who, me? Wait a minute. I'm just a servant. I haven't been prepared for this. Yes, I followed Moses. I was with Moses at the tent of meeting. I was learned. But me? And how many of us have felt like that at times when God has presented us an opportunity and we think there's no way, not me. I can't do it. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm just a stay-at-home mom. I'm just a grandma. Not me, God. I can't do it. Use someone else. But here's the point. God didn't call Joshua because he had anything special to offer him. He had nothing to offer him. He wasn't even from one of the largest tribes of Israel. He was from Ephraim, one of the smaller tribes. What made the difference in Joshua's life was the presence of God. And what makes the difference in your life and in your ministry and in your walk is not your talents, it's not your intellect, it's not your giftings. It is the presence of God working in you and working through you, God's will. That's what makes the difference. What will make the difference in this church as we seek to reach our community here on the South Island, in the southern part of the peninsula, folk, it's not going to be how many ministry teams we can have. It won't be just how wonderful our music teams are. It won't be how effective our care groups are, folk. It's going to be as people come into this house and they are able to say, the presence of God is here. That is what is going to change this island. It's the presence of God that makes the difference. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power of God may be of God, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. The treasure that he speaks of here is the Holy Spirit who resides and empowers every believer. The earthen vessels are you and me. We're just clay, folk. If you have a cemetery and you have two graves, and one gravestone is that of a great millionaire, and the other grave is that of a pauper, guess what's under the ground? Clay. It's the same. And folk, that's what we all are. We're just clay and dust. What makes the difference? What makes the difference is the power and presence of God and His Holy Spirit enabling us to go forward and take the land for Jesus. You see, God does not ask Joshua to do something without the promise of their of being right there to stand with him. And that's true for us today. God will not ask you to do anything without being there to enable you to do it. He is there. He's there. Leonard Sweet, in his devotional book, Soul Salsa, tells the story of how one First Nations people trains their young warriors. On the night of a boy's 13th birthday, he was placed in a dense forest to spend the entire night alone. Until then, he had never been taken away from the security of his family and tribe. But on this night, he was blindfolded and taken miles away. And when he took off the blindfold, he was in the middle of thick woods by himself all night long. Every time a twig snapped, he probably visualized a wild animal ready to pounce. Every time an animal howled, he imagined a wolf leaping out of the darkness. Every time the wind blew, he wondered what more sinister sound it masked. No doubt it was a terrifying night for many. And after what seemed like an eternity, the first rays of sunlight entered the interior of the forest. Looking around, the boy saw flowers, trees, and the outline of the path. Then, to his utter astonishment, he beheld the figure of a man standing just a few feet away, armed with a bow and arrow. It was the boy's father. He had been there all night. Folk, the God who calls us will always be there right beside us. This is God's commitment to you and me today. God demonstrated this truth to Moses. He demonstrated it to Joshua, and he will do it the same for you. And so as you face a new season of ministry and opportunity, as our church enters a new season of ministry in this fall, I challenge us today, be strong and courageous and move forward. Don't let the past get in the way, but rather let the past be a foundation as we grow further in God's kingdom. Be strong and courageous and move forward. Don't let the size of the task get in your way. Instead, be excited that God has so much more for you to accomplish. Be strong and courageous and move forward. Do not be distracted. Keep your focus and realize that God, because He is with us, there is no challenge that cannot be accepted or be accomplished. Therefore, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more. I love those words in Ephesians. Immeasurably more. One translation says exceedingly abundantly, above all we ask or imagine, according to His power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all generations. All generations. All generations. Young and old, middle-aged, rich, poor, traditional Pentecostal, evangelical, wherever you are, brand new believer, it doesn't matter. His power is for all today. Can you give Him thanks? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm going to invite those who are going to serve us communion this morning. And as I mentioned earlier, this communion is Jesus' invitation to come to Him.